Hi, you're listening to After Dinner Conversations, short stories for long discussions. What that means is we get short stories, we select those short stories, and then we discuss them specifically about the ethics and the morality of the choices, the characters, and the situations put us in. Why did you do this? What makes you do this? What makes us good people? What's the nature of truth, goodness, all of that sort of stuff? And hopefully we're all better, smarter people for it, and learn a little bit about why we think the way we think. So thank you for listening. Okay, after some technical issues, welcome back once again to After Dinner Conversation, short stories for long discussions. I am your co-host, Colby, here with Jeremy.
Hello.
And Sarah.
Hello.
And before I forget, we just finished up the writing contest. We do it like twice a year. The winner gets published. Actually, one of the really great stories we had was one of the winners. The Waiting Room was one of the winners like 2 ago. Anyway, so they just got announced. I thought I'd mention them. It's The Growing and Weeding of Dandelions by Tim Sharp was our big winner. And then the honorable mentions were Clandestine by W. Goodwin, The Hitler Question by Noreen Graff. You can imagine what that's about. Bloodhound by Chris Preston, who's I think had something published with us before. And Prometheus Bound in ISS by Darren Chotepelz. Anyway,
those are our. Pronounce that one first.
That was It's really actually his is one of his was really good. They're all really good. So we'll probably publish all 5 of them, or at least 3 or 4 of them. So they'll work their way in by next, and probably by January of next year, they'll be in the publication. Which reminds me, you can get the publication. It's our monthly magazine. It's $1.99 a month, or $4.99 for the first year if you use the discount code HAPPY, and then $19.95 every year after that. You can do that on our website, afterdinnerconversation.com, and they're on Amazon and blah, blah, blah. Okay, sorry, I'm just a little stressed because of our freaking technology. Anyway, so let's do this. We've got some stories, eh?
Hey.
The first one, Gilt Edge Security by James A. Hartley. Somebody mentioned that we didn't read these stories ahead of time. Not only do I don't know about you guys, but not only do I read them, but I usually read them like at least twice, if not 3 times.
Yeah, definitely read them.
Yeah.
Read them.
Doesn't mean I always totally understand it, but I always totally read it. Anyway, okay. So our story, do either one of you guys want to discuss this or you want me to do it?
It's up to
you.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So what's the story about? It is, it's about life. This is the guy who gets sold the bottle of life, right? I'm making sure I'm remembering correctly. Okay, yeah. So the guy sits at a bar. He's on the outer edges of the universe. Guy comes down and says, I'll buy you a drink. And he's like, you're trying to pitch me. You look like a salesperson. You are a salesperson-y kind of guy. You got the salesperson shirt, the salesperson haircut. And the guy –
And the briefcase.
And the briefcase, that's right. And he just sort of eases in. And he's like, as long as you're buying me free drinks, I will listen to your – I'll listen to your stupid pitch, and then I'm going to get up and go home because I'm a salesperson too, and I know what you're doing. But the sales pitch is clever. The sales pitch is like, I'm working on the Outer Rim because it's like a space futury thing, faster than light travel. And there are these horrible people that have got this one good invention, but they're horrible people, so they needed someone else to sell it to the world. So I would sell them technology. They would pay me in this elixir called life. And like after the second or third one, they basically had me. And so now I just work for them because he's like 250 years old or something now. Still looks like he's in his 40s or 50s.
Right.
And so the guy's like, really, that's amazing. Why don't they market it to everybody? And he's like, that's not really the way it works. He's like, but I'll give you a sample and I'm going to be coming back through here in 8 years. So he gives the guy the sample, doesn't try and sell him anything. And the story ends up 8 years later, the guy is back at the same bar waiting for the salesman to show up to know how he can like get more. And there's this whole thing that I didn't really catch when I wrote the questions, but I definitely caught it this time about sort of free will and choice. And how a soul is tied to your ability to make choices, which we've talked about before, right?
Right.
That like as soon as you can make a choice, you can make a wrong choice, which means you now have sort of something like morality maybe, or something like ethics, because if there is a choice, then there's always the choice you shouldn't take. And so he's saying, like, look, now that you're hooked on it, you've lost the implication, I think, is you've lost your soul because you've lost your choice because you're never going to give this up.
Right. Anyway. And I think the salesman was basically giving him that as a disclaimer to begin with. It's like, hey, I'm trying to save you, man.
Like, you should walk
away.
But
I got to tell you this anyways.
Yeah. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good point. It is kind of like a disclaimer, isn't it? He talks about integrity and he's like, do you believe in integrity? And the guy's like, what kind of pitch is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of the disclaimer. I don't know. Sarah, what'd you think? Yeah.
The salesman was kind of – well, they're both salesmen, right?
Yeah. How do salesmen sell salesmen? That's the question.
I found this one really hard to wrap my brain around. I enjoyed the discussion about how when you can live for centuries, life becomes somewhat disposable. Mm. And so the population grows and people are – there's so many people and life is so long and abundant that it's easy to throw people away. It kind of feeds into the cruelty of the society that really enjoys owning things and they own each other. And I like that part of the story a lot. I feel like, there's a lot of thought that we put into when we're talking about longevity and what would society be like if people could live forever.
Yeah.
And how would we be different as a society if there was no end date?
Yeah. How would we value things differently?
Right. Like, would it make us better?
Mm.
You know?
It could. There's always that potential, you know, it still comes back to what choices we have.
Right.
You know, and the idea that whenever you have too much of anything, it becomes disposable, you know, or really the value of that drops. And that includes people. Yeah. You know, in overpopulated countries, it's the same way where the people become disposable.
Right, because there's so many of them and there's so little value of them. They're just everywhere. Yeah.
So why is it that increased longevity devalues life so much? Is it just because it makes the population expand so much?
You're right. That would be one way to look at it. If nobody's ever dying, then all you're doing is adding to people. You know, and even Tolkien talked about this. The elves lived for a really long time, so they had very few kids. So, you know, they adjusted for that, you know, and as a society, you would have to do the same thing to some extent if that's what was going on.
Yeah, I wondered because I feel like this was the same thing that came up in and I didn't read the books because I'm not a 15-year-old girl, but the Interview with the Vampire books.
Those weren't for 15-year-old girls. You're thinking,
I'm thinking Twilight, but I feel like Interview with the Vampire was the same way. I say that having never read it, but I saw the movie, and I think one of the things that I remember about those movies and the idea behind it is how would you treat your life differently if you thought in the the way of centuries rather than years? And I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's a question that I think gets posed periodically in science fiction. And the idea of making people more disposable is the opposite of what I would think. Because I would think if I knew I was going to live 1,000 years, then maybe driving a car is too great of a risk. Because if the risk is 1 in 100,000, well, in a 60-year lifespan, all right, I'm going to be in 2 or 3 reasonable wrecks. But in the course of 1,000-year lifespan – boy, eventually I'm going to roll the wrong dice. It would cause more conservative choices.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I don't think anybody, at least anything I've ever read, has addressed that.
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing, because I've thought about this a fair bit. I mean, I wrote a character in a book about this, is I also wonder how you would value things in relationships, like how time would feel.
Right.
Because, like, I don't make my bed because just every day I'd have to make my bed. And the bed never – like, And 4 hours later or 8 hours later or whatever, 12 hours later, I'm going to be back and make the bed messy again. So, like, why burn time on something that has such a short payback?
Right.
So just don't do it. And if you start thinking in longer and longer terms, could a three-week period be too short of a payback? Could a, it's like the way old people never seem to, like, get new fashion. Because in my mind, their opinion is – this is just my made-up opinion – like, look, like, I was in fashion. It changed. I was in fashion again. It changed. Am I really going to go buy a different shirt again? Because in 8 years, I'm going to have to buy a different shirt again.
And this one is just fine.
Right. And this one's just fine. And so I feel like that's why old people tend not to adjust to fashion and trends as much. Because it just comes too fast. And they see things too long.
I could see that. Answering my own question.
Yeah, let's hear
it. I think in science fiction – and fantasy, when you have immortality, it also comes with some level of indestructiveness.
Right.
And so not only are vampires immortal, but they can't be killed.
Oh, yeah. That's why they probably don't value it the same way.
Right. And yeah. So looking – and that's why that question doesn't get asked. But if you, you just live for 1,000 years, but you have the same fragility that humans have, yes, I think that would change on an individual level what our choices would be. But I think the point of this was that once you have too many people who live 1,000 years, right.
Then life becomes disposable
from a societal or from a government standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Individual sense.
I feel like we've had stories or discussions about how governments might deal with that problem about sort of someone has to die in order to get permission for someone to be born.
Yeah. Blah, I think blah, there was another story about that. Wasn't there?
I don't know, but those also assume that you're stuck on the same planet, right? That you can't be sort of an intergalactic colonizer.
Right. Do you think you would get sick of working? I mean, like, this guy's been at this, he's 206 years old, he says, and he's been at this forever. So, you know.
But he has
talking
to.
Talking about governments, we retire at some point, and we look to our government to take care of us in a certain sense. Like, you know, we have the Social Security thing, ideally, here.
Social welfare, right, for retirement.
Sure.
There are certain social safety nets for the aging population.
Sure.
If your population does not age and kind of lives forever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's saying 500 years.
Yeah. It's going to depend on, I don't know. There's a lot of things to discuss about how a society would evolve with this kind of change.
Yeah.
Because governments would change how they deal with people. Businesses would have to change how they deal with people. And, you know, it would give you the opportunity to, as an individual, like, yeah, you could have this kind of career for 50 years and then move on to something else.
Right.
Like, I'm done doing what I'm doing. I want to now go be a musician. Now I want to go be a doctor. Or, you know, after already having a career, if you don't age and you don't, you know, don't ever die.
There's no age too late to go get a PhD.
Right. The good life, right? No, the good place.
Good place.
At the very end, once they were all in the real heaven that they built, whatever, the one of them was just suddenly becoming the expert on everything through the centuries. Like, now I'm going to be the perfect chair builder.
Oh, that's right. And he spent like an eternity learning to build the perfect chair. I don't remember. Chidi.
Not Chidi. The other. It was the woman.
Eleanor?
No. The
Indian woman.
Indian woman.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I don't remember the names. Anyway,
we need to watch the show again because we were starting to forget people's names.
Which is such a good show.
She went to go be the expert on everything. But see, the thing is, there has to be an end. I feel like that was part of the point. There is an end in this story, though. I mean, you do only get 500 years.
Sure.
It's just a lot.
It's just a lot.
I feel like you'd get a little bit bored.
The interesting thing, you talk about retirement, though, but I think the salesperson, he doesn't get to retire because the way he earns the medicine is by selling it.
So right? Is this really like it's a big pyramid scheme?
I think
like
it
you
is.
You only get the life by now. Getting
by selling it to other people.
How are they selling it?
I think it is a pyramid scheme. I think it's a pyramid scheme.
So you can't get it unless you're in the fight club.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can.
So I think this is the genius of to me, this was the genius of this story, and I may have been projecting my own thoughts into it. So I'm curious to what you guys think. Because he talks a little bit about like what happens when you have when a country or a planet, in this case, has one exceptionally valuable resource. And you can look at like the Middle East with oil. Yeah, they get attacked, right? That's what happens. Like it's too important for you to get it, for you to keep it. So we're going to invade you. Right. And so, their solution was not to tell anyone about it, but instead to pyramid scheme everyone into being dependent upon it.
Right. So they're going to start with the salespeople who will then have access to governments and
right.
who will then bring in those people one at a time.
Right. And it'll basically say like, look, you have to bring in more people in order to keep getting this. And if you quit bringing in more people, we're cutting you off. And eventually everyone will be dependent upon everyone in the pyramid.
Yeah.
And nobody will be able to attack because there'll be too many people involved.
And if you work hard enough, someday you can be a regional manager.
Right.
And then a director.
A district regional sub-manager or whatever. Assistant manager. Regional district assistant manager.
Yeah. So it's a pyramid scheme and he's taking over the entire universe. The leader of this one planet is taking over the entire universe this way because he does mention they can't militarize.
Right.
They couldn't.
But you think they'd be able to because they've got so many people.
Hi, this is Colby, and you are listening to After Dinner Conversation, short stories for long discussions. But you already knew that, didn't you? If you'd like to support what we do at After Dinner Conversation, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/afterdinnerconversation. That's right, for as little as $5 a month, you can support thoughtful conversations like the one you're listening to. And as an ad incentive for being a Patreon supporter, you'll get early access to new short stories and ad-free podcasts, meaning you'll never have to listen to this blurb again. At higher levels of support, you'll be able to vote on which short stories become podcast discussions, and you'll even be able to submit questions for us to discuss during these podcasts. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being the kind of person that supports thoughtful discussion.
But you think they'd be able to because they've got so many people.
But the might of the universe
is against them.
Right.
Yeah, would come to stop them. So he's taking over the universe in a very quiet way because nobody knows about this serum unless they're involved with it.
Right. Unless they're one of the people who needs to do something to earn it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's and I think that's one of the clever things about this story, right? Like, it would have been an easy enough story just to say, like, oh, there's this thing that makes you live forever. Okay, that asks enough interesting questions that we would probably publish it, and we'd have a pretty good discussion about it. But it also now asks the second question about the warning, right? About, do you have a soul, and what's your integrity worth? That, like, are you willing to sell your choices in life? Because that's what you're doing, right? Once you're in the pyramid scheme, you have basically sold your choice, your ability to choose. You can choose everything in life, but you can't choose not to sell our product anymore. And so it's a way to sort of sell your integrity to be a part of the pyramid. I don't know. I thought that was a secondary sort of genius part of the story.
Well, when he's talking about integrity, is he also talking about working for such a really horrible civilization?
Yes. I think he's talking about that too.
Okay.
Because, he mentions, he's like, these are horrible people because they couldn't even let their own people be the salespeople because they were such terrible people. Like, he couldn't even trust his own people to be advocates.
Right.
Yeah. Does this change your opinion of the story at all now that we've talked about it a bit, or is it still kind of the same?
Oh, no, it's the same. It asks really good questions.
Yeah. I found it a little bit hard to follow when I was reading it, but you guys are definitely helping the puzzle pieces come into place for me. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Because his pitch meanders.
It does.
It does.
You know, and so
like a good pitch would. Like,
I had to go back and read it over a few times, and I'm like, okay, I'm not really processing this right. But in talking about it, that's part of the, you know, the fun of doing these is in talking about it, it definitely makes things clearer and it makes more sense now.
Well, I think also one of the things that makes a story a little bit hard to read is you don't know what the pitch is until you're three quarters of the way into it. So you don't really know what you're getting set up for. And so the first two thirds doesn't make 100% sense until you know the last bit. But then if you went back and read it, you'd understand why the conversations about integrity and about soul and all these things matter more now in the conversation.
I think that this is an interesting kind of universe that the author has built. Mm-hmm. And I really would like to read a longer book.
I think it's called Dune. And it's very long. It's a very long book.
It's like, four big novels.
Yeah. I mean, but it's similar, right? Like Dune is the same thing as the Middle East. It's the same thing as like diamonds in West Africa or cobalt or whatever else. Like how does a single resource nation leverage that in a way that continues stability, right? I don't know. So a couple of questions for you guys. First one, if you were in the narrator position and you were handed this bottle, do you believe the guy enough to drink to try it? Or are you like, man, this stuff's probably
The warning.
Yeah, this is probably Jack Daniels. You even think it's real, right? Like, how would you even know?
Well, assuming that so experiments on animals. Where's your integrity?
Give a thimble to the cat and see if your cat lives 35 years.
I'm assuming that with it comes some sort of renewed youthful feeling. Like if you're middle-aged and stuff, like the salesperson was saying, like you feel you're slowing down. Like you do kind of. You feel age start to settle in. So if you take this elixir, I would imagine that with it comes sort of a renewed energy and maybe
feeling
your knees
of it.
Hurt less, you know, and it's easier to run up a flight of stairs.
So Sarah, two questions. Number one, is that a yes, you would take it? And number two, does that mean you are in fact training for the half marathon in January?
I am.
Nice.
Actually, my whole training schedule is written in my calendar, and I'm supposed to start with a couple of miles a day or every other day this week.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, me too. But yeah, I definitely think that this half marathon is going to be harder than the other ones now that I'm past 40. So
right. So are you a yes on the elixir?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
Why not? If this is all hypotheticals.
Right. Yeah. I think the way it's presented, you really don't have the choice with the way with the pitch that you're given. Mm.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
I mean, so what is it that you're really addicted to in the story? It's like the premise is that you become dependent on this. So does that mean if you stop taking it, you would die?
I think it just
stops
working.
Well, clearly not, because it's 8 years later. So it's not going to kill you. If you
just start aging
You
again.
Take this one, right, you're...
You start aging again.
Yeah.
So you do have the choice to die at some point.
You just stop taking it,
To resume the aging process. I wonder what the author would have to say about that. That's an unanswered question. What is it that forces people to continue taking it? Do people really... Maybe it is that people really do want to live for 500 years.
Yeah, I don't know. The chair example you bring up, Jeremy, is good, though. Like... Eventually, you'll have done everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that answers your question number three. What would you change about the way you live your life if you're going to live for 500 years? I mean, if there's no cost to it in the sense, I guess, depending on how it happens.
Yeah.
You know, if it isn't, you're in this club and you have to do what the leader says to be able to get it, you know, you kind of don't have a choice in what you get to do. But if it is, you can buy this at the grocery store and live to 500. Yes, that allows you to change the way you live.
Sure. And I think that's the catch on this. This is the only reason I have pause on whether or not if I drink it. Because like if you go to the grocery store and you could buy like dental floss, like, okay, then I'd probably take it. But if the only way I can get it is by selling it to other people, getting other people hooked on it.
Yeah.
And as soon as I quit marketing their product and bring other people into the pyramid scheme, I get cut off. You've sold a pretty important part of yourself. Now, maybe not – I mean, you still have, you know, the rest of your day every day to like learn to water ski or whatever. But one choice is no longer makeable, right? And that is, you got to sell it to other people.
Yeah, I think that with those conditions, I wouldn't want to do this.
Okay. Sarah, with those conditions?
If it comes back down to whether you have a choice or not, right?
The way you earn it is by getting other people to take it.
Yeah.
But you have all the time in the world to go ahead and sell it. But I don't know.
It's the same thing. I suppose it's the same thing with drugs, right? Like the way you get your heroin is by like for every 10 you sell, you get one free sort of thing. Or actually, in this case, every 10 you give away.
You're also working for a society that basically is enslaving people. And
yeah. Step by step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big question.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of hoping you guys would have insight on this because I was like a 50-50. Like when I read it, I was like, I'm leaning towards taking it if I could just go buy it at the pharmacy.
I think that's the difference.
I'm leaning pretty middling if I had to like be a part of the scheme.
Well, I mean, that's the brilliance of the story, right? Like it's an easy, it's an easy question to answer if there isn't all of this other stuff attached to it.
Yeah, what are the perks? The salesman really didn't give us any of the perks other than 500 years.
Yeah. I suppose one of the perks is when you get a phone call, you got to answer it. Right? It's like The Godfather. Yeah. Like someday I'm going to call in a favor and you got to come.
You know how we say things like, you know, life's too short for this nonsense?
Not anymore.
Do you become more of a drama queen? Because like... when somebody starts drama with you, you're like, oh, wait, no, I got time for this. And you just kind of like go for it.
I wonder if it was like,
Life is no longer too short for this. Let's go.
Right.
There's shenanigans.
I've got time to waste with you.
I'm going to spend 10 years just commenting on Facebook posts because I have all the time in the world for this.
That's the new ethical question here.
Yeah.
You create an entire nation of trolls, basically.
So I got nothing but time to mess with you. I don't know. Just the idea of how society would change and how you would make choices differently. Like, I don't know. I also wonder, like, remember in Lord of the Rings how the trees had a really long conversation with very – like, they were very slow talking and they were slow – because they viewed things in the span of hundreds of years, right?
Right.
And I think that is equally probably true. Like, you probably are slow to make choices if time isn't an issue.
Right.
I don't know.
No, that's a good point, too. How is it going to change your behavior? I'm sure, there are a lot of – it would change your behavior in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Ways that I'm not sure we could predict. I think that's the point. All right. I was kind of hoping you guys were going to sway me one way or the other, but I'm still stuck on the fence about the thing. So I guess that's where I'm going to finish
it. We're all on the
up.
Fence with it. It kind of depends.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this story so much more now. Like, I liked it fine when I was reading it, but now that we've talked about it, I like it so much more.
Yeah. Would you recommend it to somebody? Would you even tell somebody else about it? Like, if you got the vial and you were like, hey, here's the pitch I got. Like, I'm on the fence. I think I'm a no, but here you go. If you want it. Like, it's cool.
Oof.
You can make that. I feel like that's a pretty cruel gift.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've never read anything on the sort of the philosophy of time, but it'd be interesting to read it.
Yeah, and it's a double-edged gift. It's like, well, I don't like this person, but do I want them to be around for 500 years?
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's a terrible gift.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd tell anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to think I'd just flush it down the toilet, but I don't think I'm that good of a person.
So if you don't take it, if you refuse it, do you start telling people about it anyways to warn them off of it?
I think then people just call you crazy? I don't know.
Think? Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like you have to have the evidence to, like, take it to, like, a science person.
Right. You have to take the bottle to the FDA or...
Or the FDA,
whatever passes
right,
for the FDA in the rim.
Right, exactly. Put this in my COVID vaccination. along with the microchip. Yeah.
Oh, I only got 5G.
What? Oh, no, you got to get the upgrade. You got to get the upgrade. Did you get the booster? The microchip's in the booster.
The microchip is in the booster. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta get the booster. That's where the money's at. All right. Hey, this is, again, interesting story. I don't have anything more to add to it. It was a lot. It's a lot to unpack. But
it's a good story.
But it's a great story. Yeah, it's a great story. I'll tell you one other thing. We say this about a lot of stories, but I felt like it felt very like smooth, authentically smooth. Like the dialogue didn't seem choppy. It didn't seem like it read like a book. Like it didn't read like somebody with a good idea that was trying to be a writer. I don't know if that's the most eloquent way to say it, but I don't know. At any rate, you've been listening to After Dinner Conversation, Short Stories for Long Discussion.
Tahini.
Tahini. What is Tahini?
That was her name.
Oh, that's right. No wonder we couldn't remember her name. No wonder we couldn't remember her name. All right. So next week we have a different story. It's it's called Step Back by Henry McFarland, and it's about a woman who has a natural pregnancy. So we'll talk about that one next, and join us at our next session. Like and subscribe, Patreon, magazine, all that. I feel like I've done it so many times, but for some people, they probably have never heard all this spiel before. All right. Hey, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this, please like and subscribe. It helps us out a ton. You know, the vast majority of people listen haven't liked and subscribed, which means maybe it shows up in your algorithm, maybe it doesn't. So don't leave that to chance. Just go ahead and hit that button, and we'd sure appreciate that. And that way we can keep doing what we're doing, and you're not left to the whims of some algorithm. Thanks.